Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Neil Baker Psychic Hour. I'm Kristen. Good morning, Neil.
Good morning.
And today we're going to be taking your calls for on-air readings, as always, and discussing life's shortcomings. So we're going to be getting to our topic, then taking calls. We see we have callers in the queue. Callers, please keep your place in the queue. We do get to callers about 15 to 20 minutes after the show begins. Want to invite you to join us here on Blog Talk Radio, to follow us on Facebook, to like Neil Baker Psychic, that page. You may send us a friend request on our joint page, Neil and Kristen Baker. Well, they're kind of both our joint pages because Neil doesn't really go online. So if you email, you're always going to reach me. I've gotten several emails lately, and you know, I'm redirecting people to the phone number. That is 562-596-7818. That's the line that Neil himself will answer if you'd like to speak with him. So please do call that number rather than emailing if you want to get in touch with Neil directly. Our call-in number today, 914-338-0164. And I hope everybody had a great holiday weekend. I guess it's a good topic considering the season because I think sometimes during this time of year, what we want in life gets magnified, you know, or what we don't get, because it's often an emotional time. I mean, you know, people are separated from their families, or they're having financial problems, things like that. So that's kind of our topic today.
Sure. You know, when you look at the aspect of shortcomings, you have to determine what are shortcomings. We sometimes have shortcomings in terms of what we expect out of a relationship. We get to the end of life, or we're in the midst of life, and we think, you know, we're not in a relationship.
Right. Another thing that can be magnified when you're alone this time of year, you know, you feel like outside of society a little bit if you're by yourself, I think.
Yeah. It's basically a situation where you have to evaluate what is the more or less purpose of your life, and where are your shortcomings, from what area did it derive from? So like we were saying, you know, some people have shortcomings in relationships, some people have shortcomings in
finances,
in a career,
actualizing their creativity, not having talent, having talent and not being able to actualize.
Some people then have shortcomings in deeper aspects of the world.
Spirituality.
They don't feel like they accomplished enough. So when we get to life's shortcomings, we have to really determine the layer at which we are discussing: mind, body, soul, spirit, and then try to grasp what is our main purpose for being on the planet. Now, some of us, many of us, and for the most part, the majority of us have earthly concerns. We are concerned about survival. We're concerned about money. We're concerned about security, relationships, jobs. These are all very important because we are in the layer of physicality, which encompasses all of the planet, the world itself. You don't need to be spiritual to survive in the world. You need to be physical to survive in the world. So when we look at that first layer and we discuss our shortcomings, there are some people who have vast amounts of spiritual significance towards higher elements, but are poor in money. poor in body. So their shortcomings may be defined a little bit differently. They may feel that I have everything. I may not have a proper coat on my back. I may not have a proper pillow to put my head on, and I may not have a great job. I may not have a great relationship or any at all, but I'm rich in spirit.
Well, let's talk about that.
Now, well, is that a shortcoming?
Well, that's what I wanted to ask, because, you know, if you're rich in spirit and you're able to set aside the needs of the body to be rich in spirit, but at the same time, all the chakras need to be realized. How does that work, really, in terms of transcendence? I mean, perhaps that person that's spiritually awakened and doesn't care about certain aspects of physicality have already completed that in previous lifetimes. So maybe they're ready to just transcend.
Yes.
Depending on the circumstances, because there can be problems in the first chakra, too, that prevents them from dealing with it. So it just, it's case by case, I would say.
Well, it's case by case, but in the idea of shortcomings, if you're on the planet and you're, I guess, for want of a better word, highly evolved, and your mind is set in the goal of soul and spirit, then you may not have the kind of shortcomings that would normally be defined as what a shortcoming is.
Right.
However, that doesn't mean to say that those people who are spiritually inclined and concerned about their soul are excused from being responsible in the earth.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So it's like if someone, for instance, lets their finances completely unravel, their financial situation, and doesn't pay their bills, but they're spiritual. I mean, it's kind of a contradiction. How can you be spiritual if you don't take care of your responsibilities? But there can be problems in the first chakra versus having that complete responsibility, but not having those first chakra concerns. We're talking about first and seventh chakra right now.
Yeah, I suppose one could say that you can abuse the system. So to just say, well, I'm rich in spirit and I'm very, my soul, I'm concerned about my soul, so I can just lay in bed and do nothing and live off the government. And, you know, I read my Bible, whatever. I do my yoga.
That doesn't qualify.
No, that's an abuse. You can't, there's an authenticity about the integrity of the soul and the spirit. So for those who profess to have spirituality and true content of soul, then spirituality and true content of soul assumes full responsibility.
Right, and it's going to lead each of the chakra systems.
Yes.
So it's not going to allow for irresponsibility in any given area.
No. I would say that in terms of the definition of shortcoming in such a case, those people who are rich in spirit and soul but are physically, mentally, bodily struggling to earn a living, people who will pick grapes, people who will do anything they
can. Clean toilets,
yeah,
whatever it is.
That's, and they still retain a richness of spirit, and they understand that there might be some limitations to their existence, but they're fulfilling their responsibility to the planet. Then that's a full-fledged human being without shortcomings. So the idea of shortcomings is something that sneaks into any frame of thinking. On the other hand, those who are very rich, who have everything, who are law-abiding, who have wonderful families, but don't, you know, their idea of spirituality is sort of, well, it's there, you know, I express it on a Sunday or on a Sabbath, and I do my duty responsibilities to being religious and obedient. But the idea, but that can be a shortcoming there too, because the abundance of spirit has to have some form of cosmic consciousness. There has to be an elevated sense of being in order to transcend the idea of what the essence of shortcomings
is. So participating like in a parish, for instance, may not qualify for having, you know, the person may not qualify for having a sense of cosmic consciousness because that's spiritual
and earthquake,
essentially.
Well, it shows a
profound
sense to supporting a religion or belief. But even there, that doesn't qualify as the pure essence of spirit in terms of how we analyze shortcomings. Because if you can get into heaven by being what did you say? By going to church or by being an usher or by
if
that's the way
minister,
to get into heaven,
then everybody is going to get into heaven.
You know, heaven's filled with ushers. But the idea here is not that. The idea is that there's a totality of mind, body, spirit that is geared towards the full responsibility of life we have to the planet, to ourselves, to our fellow human beings, to higher aspects of the world, to causes, concerns, social justice, moving upward into the higher realms of taking care of our planet, the environment, space, the cosmos, and beyond, into the dialogue and vocabulary of what it is to be a spiritual human being. When we talk about spirits and God and angels, all of this is important as we extend into sort of Jacob's ladder of intellect and emotion towards the higher realms. I have great respect for passionate people who care about worldly causes, and that is a firm chapter, but there's still a shortcoming if you're lacking spirit and the totality of love. So I think when we get into the idea of what is your shortcoming, our shortcoming is also can be deemed as lack of love, lack of understanding. That doesn't mean that we as human beings don't have to take firm positions sometimes and take charge of things and make hard decisions and sometimes reject certain principles or certain people. But it does bring with it the grasp of understanding as to what you are doing and how you are executing your actions. So I think it isn't an easy course. Like getting through life isn't easy. But sometimes, yes, it's complicated, hard, and sometimes harsh decisions have to be made in spite of the fact that you're still a spiritual human being.
Right. So how to maintain that when we're having these issues of survival, of establishing relationships, of having, financial difficulties? How do we as, for our listeners, rise above the bodily concerns and actualize that higher spiritual essence while still trying to maintain our survival level.
Look at the top priority in the country, the president. There are many presidents, Lincoln included, who said in the harshest moments of their presidency, they went silently into their office and prayed to God. So I think that the cap of indecisive or ambiguous thinking should be capped by our dialogue with God and to go into deep, firm conversation with God. Now, that at least provides a record that as a human being, any one of us, from the highest office to the lowest office, has conversed with God. And I don't mean God, a God of destruction. I'm talking about a God of love and a God that encompasses the universe with the full embrace of respect for all people and all events, given that they are for the goodwill of all humankind. So I think that the epitome of if there's a lack of shortcoming, talk with God. I think
A lack of shortcoming would be great.
Well,
you mean a shortcoming.
A shortcoming. If a person is indecisive and doesn't quite know if they're fulfilling their goals, at least go on record that you've discussed it with God, with angels, that you've gone to a higher power aside from your own ego to contemplate and thereby maybe put into some kind of figuration of speech and action how you can better your position from shortcoming to fulfillment.
Okay, let's pause, Neil, and perhaps we can continue this on Friday, or perhaps we'll have a new topic. I don't know. We'll decide on that later, but let's take some callers, and we might have time to continue today. Who knows? First caller, 845. Who's this?
Hello, it's Lucy. How are you?
Hi, Lucy. How are you?
Good, thank you. The topic is wonderful.
Oh, glad to hear it.
Yes.
I'm hearing my voice back. Are you? Do you have a radio on in the back?
Oh, 1 second. I'm gonna. Okay. I had a radio, but it's nothing to do with this. Let me turn
not,
it off. 1 second.
I'm hearing my voice back, so it's not the computer.
And now it's okay.
Let's see. Yeah, that's better. No, I can hear. I can hear my voice back. I don't know why, but anyway, we'll deal with it. You're going to hear yours back, Neil, so hopefully that'll work. Lucy, can we get your birth date, please, again?
10-16-1962.
10-16 or 15?
10-16-1962.
6-2. 6-2. Sorry. And we're glad you like the topic. Good. Hopefully it's relevant to you, 18 and 20. Lucy, what? I mean,
yeah.
I'm hearing myself back. It's annoying. I'm driving myself nuts listening to the sound of my own voice. Do you have us on speaker? Is that perhaps what it is? I don't know.
No, I don't. I'm using my internet, my phone from the cable.
So, Lucy, what's your question?
Okay, my question is about relationship with my son.
Okay, do you have his birthday for us?
It's
April 20, 1993. 1993. 8. 16 and 12. 28, 10, 1. Yeah. Okay. And he is 31, is that right? 31 years old?
He's a, No. 4-20-1993. He's 23.
Yes, but,
he's 23 years old.
23 years old. What is wrong with me? I added 20. Doing. I added,
and then mine is 10-16-1962. That is like 50-something, 54.
Yeah, I see what I did. I was adding, for some reason, I added his karmic number to his year, thinking I was going to get his age. I got the year that he will be making his karmic change, but he's actually five years before that. That's in 2021, I think. That'll be 28. So is there a specific question about the relationship, Lucy?
Yeah. Last time when we talked was before Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't communicate too much with me. And then Thanksgiving, I was calling him. He didn't answer. But then before Thanksgiving, he said, "Ma, I'll see you for Christmas." But then for some reason, he say he's too tired. He doesn't want to talk to anybody. He doesn't even answer my calls. And I wonder what is the relationship between, what's going on between us. We always had been very, I had been very close to him. And he usually rely on me. But then I guess he's not now.
Lucy, is there any problem with him with, like, alcohol or drugs?
No. He just working. He say he's working 13 hours a day when he comes.
Hmm.
He's an engineer.
Yeah.
When he comes, he doesn't want to talk to anybody because he say he's tired. He's mentally tired.
Yeah. Well, he may be mentally tired, Lucy, and he may be just fatigued. But I'm picking up something emotionally going on with this man. In regards to his father, was his biological father a distant man? Was there any distance between he and his father, as far as you can tell?
Yes, it is. It is. And then last year when he came to visit us, the father invited him for a dinner. The father has a new son. The lady decided to put the same name like my son. He started talking about his new son and how great he is. Then,
yeah.
I don't know if that affects him a lot.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Well, you know what it did, Lucy? It caused him to become depressed and rejected.
Mm.
So it doesn't matter somewhere that rejection or that experience went into your son and affected his heart, affected his well-being. And no, I'm not laughing at that. I was laughing at something else.
That's okay.
Kristen had a cup of coffee and she just burned her mouth, so it made me laugh.
Uh-huh.
what it did, Lucy. I'm choking.
It serves them right.
What it did was it caused a rift between the son and his father. The son feels rejected, and the son becomes depressed and works to hide his depression, to consume his activity so that he doesn't have to think about it. But when it comes to family zone, which is more to the heart of the matter, he doesn't want to step into it. So he avoids you because it brings home too closely the attitude of his father. So you have to understand that your son is suffering from being hurt by his father. And unfortunately, he's not of a mind yet to be able to transcend that and stay close to you. It's affecting him too much.
Yeah, because he's so young.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what's
happening.
And
what I can do about it? Is he going to be okay? What I can do about it?
Well, what you can do about it is not say you should come, not work on his guilt, because that won't work. Work on his love. Say, I love you. You're my son. If you don't want to feel like coming, that's okay. My heart is with you at all times. You're a great person. You know, you want to make him feel good. Because what happens, your son is somewhat isolating himself. I don't care if he's even conversing at work, or he has a certain attitude that's kind of happy, or he has a friend or two. Inside, your son feels alienated, isolated, because his crucial relationship with his father has been replaced by another son and his father's rejection of him, so to speak. And so what you want to do is overcompensate for that by not pressuring him, but by giving him a sense of unconditional love through understanding. And maybe the best you could do is just to express your love to your son and let him know that he's totally loved and that he's the greatest thing on the earth. And, you know, something along that line, Lucy, I mean, if you want to cut to the chase and say, what can I do for my son? As a mother, that's what you could do. If that doesn't work,
He lives in California. I live in New York. Do you think that I should tell him, okay, you move here or I move there? No.
It has nothing to do. No. I mean,
that's going to make him feel more pressured.
Yeah. No.
Yeah?
I don't think, you know, your heart is to surround him and protect him, maternal. So I get to understand that. But at the same time, your son is 23 years old and somehow he has to map through this world and be a man, in spite of what his challenges are. So it wouldn't be advisable to mother him that much. What you need to do is allow him to be a man on his own with your love. It's not a matter of distance. I mean, if he said to you, I would rather be closer to you, can we work out something where you can move here or I can move there, that would be different. But I don't think that's the picture. He's not making any attempt to really reach out to you because his manhood is what's affected. And being a man, he's not going to want to be mothered. But if you step aside and just give him your love, that might help him out a little bit. Also, humor. Humor. I think your son has a humorous side. I think when he was younger, he was a happy child and laughter a lot. Am I right or wrong?
Yes, you're right. Mm-hmm. Very, 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 very. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I get him as being very happy, happy child. He got hurt. You know, he got hurt by the actions of the father. And your son's sensitive. So
very sensitive. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So just love him, support him. Don't pressure him. Don't make suggestions, because he's going to reject it because he'll feel too mothered. What he wants is a good connection to his father. He already knows he has a connection to you.
Do you have the father's birthday, just out of curiosity, before we move on to the next caller?
The father's birthday is May 16, 64.
1954?
64. 51664.
51664?
Yeah, 51564.
No, she said 516.
16.
16. Oh. 16. So you're born on the same day as the father.
Yes, we are.
16th, the 16th, both of you. That's interesting.
Yes.
5,
mm-hmm.
12, 22, 32, 5. Yeah.
Yeah, your son, your father.
Your father.
Your husband or your former husband, whatever.
Are you married still or not?
No, I got divorced because he got the girlfriend, and then later on they got a child.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
Then,
so
the child has the same name like my son because the woman.
Really? Oh, wow.
Yeah, you know, it's not a pretty picture. Your father.
Maybe he was a past life father. Maybe that's why he keeps saying it. That's funny.
The father is a 5 master number. The son is a 1 master number.
That's his
and
first
that's
two.
The, that's the father's first two numbers.
And
it adds up to 6, which is his third number.
And I just want to point out that her month is his, 10 karmic number.
Yeah, there's a strong connection.
Definitely.
Karmically speaking, this is a problem that the father has and the son has through karma and past lives, which prompted in this lifetime for the father to provide the seed for his son, but not necessarily the love. So the father is warped. I'm sorry to say, he's warped. His mind is warped. He doesn't have his priorities correctly spoken about in his mind. He needs therapy. I mean, I'm coming down hard on the father in this reading because I think he's wrong.
Well, to rename a second son the same name as the first son is a little bit strange.
Yes.
You know what happens, Lucy, that fathers can go against their sons. I mean, it's history. But unfortunately, that's what's going on between your son and his father. And, go ahead.
No, once he did a remark that he was stupid. I say, how could you say that? He always was, my son say, oh, I remember when you told me I was stupid. I say, Basa, how can you tell your own son that he was stupid? I never called him nothing because we had a daughter and a son. Never told you or never hear me to call when we were together stupid. But then when we got separated, they used to go with the father for vacation. And he was meeting the girlfriend, whatever day. He said, oh, I just going to take them. I'm not going to bring the girlfriend. And then he was lying because then he got reunited with the girlfriend and the stepmother to be. And then the stepmother used to tell them things. He told my son that he was stupid, and my son always remembered that. I say, Tito, please. Because I don't call my son Václav. We always call him Tito. But then I told my former husband, how could you let her name your son the same name? A lot of names in the world for you to let her do that? Oh, that's fine. Well, it is not fine.
That's probably very hurtful to your son, for sure.
And then also he told me, oh, well, he doesn't pay his things. I say, listen, when I was with you, we made a lot of money and all went to you. And he never asked you for anything. I am paying for it. Why you worry about his pain or no pain if you didn't tell him one penny for the college? I think he's always like that.
Yeah.
Like,
he's not a nice man. And he's not a good father. And that's just something he's going to have to live with. But on the same token, your son has to become his own man and his own father to himself. And that's going to be his journey. And you just talk to your son as though he is a very good human being with a flawed father, but he's got to rise above that and take pride in himself.
Well, and you can see that the karmic connection between Lucy and the son and the father, I mean, it's illustrated in the 10-1-6 and the 4-2 of the son. That's a 5, which is the father's master number. So, when you put their karmic sides together, it becomes that. Okay, Lucy, we have to move on to other callers, but
I got a last question. You say that he was maybe on drugs?
No. I didn't say maybe he was on drugs. It was a question that, you know, I asked.
because of
distance, sometimes, you know, just a logical question, not a psychic question, would be, is there any kind of abuse that's going on? Because someone who's abusing alcohol or drugs often separates from their family.
No, the kind of work that he has, he really goes to work 7 in the morning, and he has so many projects that he has to finish, and sometimes he stays until 7. And the driving to in California is far away, like it's 20 minutes driving, but sometimes taking 1 hour.
Yeah.
Then I know for a fact, because I have been there, that he works long hours. Yeah.
Yeah, so that probably isn't a situation, but that was just a question because of what you were saying.
Okay, I thought you saw something because you never know, you know, but then the kind
of
position.
So it's not like there is some distance between the two of you, I mean, geographically speaking. So that makes it, I think, more challenging probably.
Okay, and he doesn't want to speak to me because I always say you are so kind, you are so loving, and then he say, "Mom, you're always telling me the same thing," but that doesn't help.
Oh, well, his journey is going to have to be one where he finds his own essence. He can't rely on his father, and you are there, but you're the mother. He needs to feel like a man inside. And that's his real journey. But I suspect he will find it.
Yeah, okay. Good. I just put in prayer a lot, in group prayers. I will continue with that.
Well, we'll pray, too, for you, Lucy. And, you know, we do for all of our callers and listeners. So we'll definitely keep you in that energy.
Neil's
got the
so
giggles
much.
Today. I'm going to have a collection.
I'll tell you, what you've got to do, Lucy, is put in your son a good sense of humor. Your son lost his laughter. He's so burdened by responsibility and work.
Burdened. I'm gonna write that
rejected,
down.
That right now your son could use humor with therapy. A therapy humor channel would be great for him in life.
And keep in touch. Lucy, let us know what happens over the Christmas holiday and if he connects and if things are a little bit better. We'd love to hear, okay?
Yeah, he's coming for Christmas.
Okay, let us know. Okay, thanks,
Thank
Lucy.
You so much. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Blessings. Bye.
Thank you. Bye. 562-596-7818 is the number for further conversation. And our call-in number, 914-338-0164. Okay. 203, I believe, is our next caller. And then 561-203. Hello.
Hi there. How are you?
Hi, who's this?
Todd.
Todd. Oh, hi, Todd. And Todd, can you remind us of your birthday, please?
Sure. It's June 28th, 1977.
Okay. He's a 40. What am I? 40 equals 4? Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what's going on, Todd?
I just had a general question regarding the upcoming year and my career.
And you're in what business again? Is it like real estate? Am I wrong?
Yes.
I can't remember.
Estate.
I'm sorry?
I called about a year and a half, 2 years ago. I can't believe you remember that.
So I did remember correctly. You are in real estate.
Yes.
Well, that's right in tune with your master number 4, Earth. You're in on the East Coast, right?
Yes.
Where? What state?
Connecticut.
Yeah.
Well, Todd, you're about to enter the 40th year of your life. It's coming up. Where you make the major changes in your life. The karmically speaking, you're going to be from a karmic journey to more of a post-karmic journey. Your life is going to change come June, and then throughout that year, you'll be experiencing some major changes. Now, the idea of the real estate essence is what you're still basically employed in doing. that number implies a one because it's the root chakra. But the other aspect of the real estate, most real estate people like to base their root energy, meaning land, earth, home, in terms of financial security, more or less family security. So you don't really sell homes or buy homes or trade homes in relationship to families. You do it in relationship to finances. Of course, you may have a heart about it, and you may take pleasure in giving people pleasure that they, you have supplied them with the best home possible. But let's face it, real estate people aren't in the world of bringing families together. They're in the world of selling property and making a profit and having a commission. So your idea of having a commission and increasing in context approaching the age of 40 is very strong. So I predict that coming this June, maybe leading up to it a little bit, and then coming this June until the following June, you're going to be making some money. Mm-hmm. Now, if you know this,
okay,
you're a real estate person, you're a numbers person, look at your numbers. It's 628. The 6-2 is the broken up 8. And then as you move forward towards the age of 40 and start to actualize that 8 energy, imagine putting the 6-2 together. It's like putting a 6-2 together and making a deal that turns out to be an 8, and an 8 is financial security. And not only that, but an 8 times 6 is 40. So when you reach 40, and again, when you reach 40 and you're a numbers person, you will have gone through 10 cycles of your master number 4, and 10 is located in your 28 in your day. So if we want to look at this in numerical evaluation, you're bound to succeed quite handsomely in real estate throughout the age of 40. Can things go wrong? Yeah, they can. You know why? Because the 28 is a 10, which brings up the idea of zero. Now, there's your one. That's your one, Todd. And what could go wrong is still possible, especially if you, as a human being, miss the mark somewhere. You cheat somebody, you're not honest. You can get almost instant karma in that year as well. I don't suspect that's who you're about. Your struggles, you know, up until now, don't worry about that. You're in karmic zone until 40. Now, does that help you a little bit?
It does. I just out of curiosity, how many listings do you see me selling in 2017?
How many listings do I see you selling in what?
2017.
Well, I'll tell you something. You can, on to various degrees, sell as many as 27.
Would that be a lot? Would that be a lot or average? Or?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that. You broke up a little bit.
Neil just said you see as many as 27 listings being sold. So, I mean, in your field,
yeah.
I'm not familiar with the
field
of real estate at all. Is that normal?
Sure.
Is it above average or below?
Well, in 2016, I sold 19. So
it would
be
an increase of eight.
Yeah, would be definitely
which
an increase.
Which is a spire number.
Yeah.
That's interesting. So, Neil's quote is 8 above what you sold in 2016, which actually is the 8 in your day. So,
yeah.
Now, that's ideally speaking, Todd. Your brain is geared towards finances. Your mind is on, I want those sales. I want to know how I'm doing. We're not talking about spirit or soul here. So you don't need to defend yourself. Your brain is incorporating the idea of, I want to make sales. I'm calling a psychic to find out if I can do it. That's what I'm concerned about.
Maybe, he's moving on into the 7 area of his birthday. Maybe he'll sell a church.
Yeah.
Or 2. There's 2 7s. Who knows?
Yeah.
A church and a monastery. Or
have you thought about being the first priestly real estate agent?
Yeah.
I'm just joking about that.
Well, Todd,
churches.
You know, you've got to, I would say that if I were in your shoes and I wanted to sell a certain amount of properties and have a certain goal. That's good. That I commend you for that. But I would also say to you, don't take the material journey so with so much of a full heart. Understand that your soul and your spirit are in that journey too. So I don't know what you have to do as a man to look inside your psyche and say, what can I do to improve my spirit? You know, you could say, well, I do yoga, you know, I chant. Okay, that's fine. But you got to look deeply at your soul and understand that there are two reasons you're here. One is to survive and to build your career, which is commendable, legitimate. The other one is to tend to your soul and spirit. Now, I don't want to be a shepherd here. I'm not trying to, you know, push the lamb button here. But what I'm telling you, what I'm hearing from you is that you've got to be even. There's got to be an even quality in your energy. And yes, you did 19, which is great. The 19 is a wonderful energy for you. I'm even suggesting you're going to get 27. So I'm not out of alignment in terms of your quest. I'm actually accenting it. But I've got to let you know that as you approach your age of 40, you will be called upon to search your soul. That's going to come up, whether you like it or not.
Okay. Mm. And Todd, we do need to move on, but hopefully that is more than you asked for today here.
Yeah, no, that's great. I really appreciate your time.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for checking in with us.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. 562-596-7818 is the number for further conversation. Yeah, I remember Todd actually spoke with you privately, so.
Yeah, I recall.
You remember?
I do recall, yes.
Yeah. Okay. 561 is our next. Hello.
Yeah, hi. Yeah, happy holidays, Neil and Kristen.
Hi.
Yeah, happy holidays. Well, I have good news for you and bad news for you.
Okay.
A few weeks ago, I started a job, and it lasted just, it was started on the 16th, and it ended yesterday, and I'm devastated. You know, it's just
Wait
like
a second.
Every time I, yeah.
Well, did it, Stacy, did it end on, like, it was it a temporary job, or is this something
no,
that?
No, it was a part-time position. And,
how did you lose it?
Well, you know, I was very good at what I did, but the office manager, she was seemed irritable all the time. And I guess she wanted to be the one that's trained me, and someone else trained me, and she trained me differently. So mm-hmm. then I guess each one showed me a different way. And I guess the first person's way was right, and the other one was wrong. So I wound up being blamed. You know, it's crazy, and I'm just really upset. Exactly. It was part-time, but it was, you know, good pay. And I'm just very upset because, you know, things started out good until that woman, you know, started, you know. And I don't know. It's because I said something, because both of them would come back from work, you know, come into the office, and they were reeking of smoke cigarettes. And I don't smoke at all. And it was like, you know, gross. And I said, you know, that I didn't want, you know, smoke, or that it was, you know, I'm allergic to it. And then I guess after that, you know, I don't know if that's the reason, because I was doing my work, and I'm just really upset. I feel like,
well, yeah,
you're not the first person you've dealt with a smoke issue. It's kind of funny
you're
bringing it up.
I've got people that have issues.
Exactly.
Like,
so the only thing I think is if the company, the person in charge, actually told them that, oh yeah, Stacy said that she doesn't like the smoke, and then, you know, that's the only thing, because I. You know what I mean? Because why would the office person be so irritable towards me?
Stacy, listen to me. Listen to me, because you're in a complicated situation. I'm with you. I don't smoke. I can't be around smoke. I can't breathe smoke. Cigarette smoke, I never could. I can't stand it. So I'm with you. I don't disagree with you.
But making waves in a new job is another.
Well, you know what you ended up doing, and I'm backing you up, but what you ended up doing was criticizing them. And they so the criticism broke apart the tribal connection. And what you did was you criticized the captains, the chiefs, the superiors, the people around you. And what you did was you broke, instead of just tolerating it, you decided, I'm going to say something. I'm going to step out of this world, enter my world, which is not appropriate to their world, and make a comment. And so what you did was they brought in cigarette smoke, you brought in criticism. And because they overruled you, sticks and stones, you know, paper, rock, scissor, they said, okay, you want to criticize us? We cut you off. So that's what happened. The, you're in a problem because you have a nervous, you want to do the right thing. You get confused when there are two opposite rivals around you, and it makes you nervous. And you're trying to do the right thing. But at the same time, what you brought into that was the combination of a critical analysis of what they do outside of the office.
Right. And adding to that, the problem she's had with retaining a job, you know, is going to further compound the situation when you're coming into a new job, because you're probably already worried about losing it once you start. But sometimes I think in group situations, tempering our personalities is an important factor in trying to meld into an environment, which when you're in a new job, you need to do. And when you have, you know, specific likes and dislikes, and, you know, that's more challenging for sure. So as far as this reading is concerned, Stacey, what's your question?
I know. I mean, you wouldn't have said, it was like, not like, once they smoked, like it was really bad. They came in and it's like a small office, so you're gonna smell it.
Oh, we eat it.
Could change it, remove yourself from an environment that became unhealthy to you. So maybe in the long run, you protected your health. Let's just put out an energy that the next job is going to not have that same kind of karmic confusion for you. And that you'll get along.
Do you have a cat,
Stacey?
Yeah, I love him more than anybody in the world. I'm not joking. Two males.
Yeah,
they found me. Well, I love them more than anybody, and I'm not joking.
I picked up a cat around you just as we were speaking. So maybe that will be the element
hook
of angelic thumbs up that your next job's going to be a better one.
Do you know when the next opportunity I'll have?
We've got another caller. We have to close on time today.
Okay,
so.
Stacey, real quickly, because we have one more caller.
Yes, I've been applying, you know, but I'm saying,
okay,
how long do you think it will be to get another one?
Stacey, Kristen and I will put out an energy together that maybe by December 15th, if we're lucky, you'll find something.
Oh, that would be good. I appreciate it. Because
I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
You got fired, though. Can you collect unemployment? You can collect unemployment when you get fired, right?
It only lasts for 3 months. It's not even worth it. It only lasts for 3 months. And, you know, it's ridiculous.
So, okay. So let's see if we can get something within 2 weeks.
All right. Okay. Okay, Stacey. Keep us in the loop here, okay? We're really sorry that happened, but at least something came through on the job front. So we'll push that through for the 15th.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Because this was like the lowest, you know.
Yeah. Oh, well, we're sorry, but we're, you know, really trying to back you here and just moving
it.
Forward. Yeah.
Just get over it. Get over it. Get over it. You're going to move to something better. Maybe the cigarette smoke would have made you nauseous anyways. Didn't work
it
out.
It did. I had a headache from it. I got a headache from it.
Yeah.
Stacey, let it go. It's not a big deal.
Sounds like a low consciousness place to work anyway.
Yeah.
So whatever.
You wouldn't have been
forward.
Happy anyways, even if you'd stayed.
It hurts to be rejected. It hurts to be rejected. But it sounds like they were kind of losers. So. Okay.
Thanks.
We're on your side, though. And just keep us informed.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, last caller. 201. Who's this, please?
Hi, Kristen.
Hi. Who's this?
This is Jackie.
Oh, hey, Jackie.
Hi.
Jackie. Okay, give us your birth date again because it's escaping me.
1/5/1965.
Okay. She's like an 8 or a 9, I think, but 6/16/27/9, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, what's going on?
I had to detain my son just to try to wake him up. I'm trying to help him get back in order. He's having a rough time. He should be out next week.
Just what's your son's birthday?
5/8/1998.
Okay, it's hard to hear you, so if you could speak up.
5/8/1998.
Yeah, we got that. But what? Back up on the problem. He's a 40=4.
I
want
to see if I'm going to be able to help him get himself together.
What's his problem? What's his problem? Why isn't he together?
Smoking marijuana, getting in trouble, dealing with drugs and all of that.
There's the drugs.
That's not his life.
It came in. We're talking to someone else who was having a problem with her son earlier, but not a drug problem.
You talk like you're a single parent. Are you divorced?
No, but I'm the one that usually have to handle all the problems. My husband escapes from it.
You have to handle all the problems. Where's your husband in this?
Working, running, hiding from it.
Oh.
Okay. Well, in a way, you're divorced emotionally, because that's not the way a partner should be speaking. So,
and she works too, as you can see. She's at her job right now, so she's busy as well.
Your son is 18. And he's going through a journey right now where he's just sort of in trouble. He's got a certain fiery disposition where he's got a lot of repressed anger.
That's his karmic. 1998 is an 18, actually.
So whereas the other son that was hurt by his father, your son is angry at his father. There's anger issues.
Yes, because I think he felt let down. He had to deal with a lot of other male people who were taking advantage of him, using him for sports, and then rejecting him when they were done.
Yeah, well, let me ask you something. What state do you live in, Jackie?
New Jersey.
Well, I thought you
New Jersey. Why am I picking up, I don't know, maybe it's something that's too symbolic, but why am I picking up someone that likes to swim, like in Olympic-sized pools or as a good swimmer? Who's the swimmer?
No one, but Florida is in the picture in terms of going down there and taking care of some business.
Oh, okay, well, okay.
That's good, good.
How is Florida in the picture?
Well, there's a program down there that I pretty much like, and I want to actually go down there.
For his drug rehabilitation?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, so that's where you got to go.
That's what I'm trying to do.
But he has to agree to do it. I mean, you can't. He's 18.
Right, exactly. Right. That's what they said.
That's the problem.
Well, I think he will. Now, maybe I'm being optimistic, but my vibe tells me he will. I might be wrong,
right,
but
it's
that's
a really, it's a really nice program. Plus, I need to go down and take care of some stuff.
Some of these rehab centers are like country clubs. I'd like to go.
This particular one is nice.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't smoke a lot, but when he smokes, he does things he shouldn't do.
Jackie, what's going on? Is there anything, forgive me for asking, but is there anything going on anywhere at this point with $14,000? Does that connect to anything?
I don't know. With him?
Maybe it's the program. How much does the program cost?
I don't know.
Is $14,000?
My legal fees.
Is $14,000 within your range of accommodating that kind of a figure for anything at any given moment?
I'm not sure. It probably could be the cost of it. I'm not sure.
Okay, we don't know. But that keep that figure in mind, Jackie. And is there, not to mention the you know, there's a movie, Jackie, with Natalie Portman now and Kennedy, and not to bring in the idea of Ruby, who assassinated Oswald, but is there a Ruby around you, or has there ever been a Ruby around you?
Many, many years ago, a lady.
Yeah.
And who's Ruby? Yeah, Ruby was a friend. Ruby was a friend.
Of my mother's, yes.
Her mother's friend.
And your mother's crossed over?
Yes.
Okay, so something in here is moving around us. I'm not sure what it is. Spirit entities, spirits,
it could
ghosts,
be work.
I don't know. Something
it could be work.
Is activating my mind here, and Ruby's coming into it. So maybe at some point we can evaluate it on a more deeper level.
Okay.
Okay, Jackie, keep us posted, okay?
I sure will. But Florida is pretty good, right? From what you
see. That's what it sounds like. Neil, you think Florida is good. Yeah, because it came in. So, and, you know, it would be interesting to know what that 14,000 means. So definitely get in touch if you figure that out, okay?
Okay.
Okay.
The situation with the ghost, that's our school mascot. Maybe that's the energy you're picking up because I am in school right now.
What's your school mascot?
A ghost.
Oh, a ghost. No, I don't think that has anything to do with the school mascot, but it was something regarding your mother, and Ruby was mentioned. So probably there is some interaction with your mother. And you know, we can explore that at a later date on the show or at a different time on a private call, but we're actually getting the 30-second warning in about 10 seconds here, Jackie. So we got to end today, but keep in touch.
I sure will. Thank you. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you. Okay. And we are out of time. We're back on the air Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern. Thanks callers for joining us.